Hello, it's VoiceOver Matters. It's Njeri Thorne. We've been reading the BBI verbatim, and now we've come to a section which is the annexes. Annex D is a summary of the legislative bills, the draft bills contained in a standalone document. So the following proposed bills provide for the statutory mechanisms necessary for the implementation of the recommendations contained in the task force report, as well as other relevant contributions made during the validation report or the validation period. Number one, the Prompt Payment Bill 2020. The proposed bill provides a legal framework for the prompt payment of invoices for goods and services procured by public entities. It seeks to address the perennial issue of delayed payment for goods and services procured by public entities. This impacts negatively on the suppliers of those goods and services and the promotion of commerce. The bill will apply to all public procurement undertaken under the Public Procurement and Asset Disposal Act 2015. The bill requires for the settlement of invoices for the supply of goods and services within 30 days of submission of the invoice. Any inquiry on an invoice should be communicated to the supplier in writing within 10 days from the date of presentation of the invoice. Every public procuring entity is required to establish an internal appeal system. This shall be the first port of call to a supplier who is aggrieved by a decision made by a public entity not to honour an invoice. This bill makes failure to make prompt payments for goods and services procured by a public entity an offence. It establishes the Public Invoices Settlement Tribunal to hear appeals from any decisions made by internal appeals mechanisms of any public entity declining to pay an invoice. To foster transparency, the proceedings of the tribunal shall be open to the public, except where a dispute before the tribunal emanates from procurement of classified items by a national security organ. Decisions of the tribunal shall be enforced by the respective accounting officers of the public entities to whom they are directed. In rendering its decisions, the tribunal may make recommendations on appropriate reforms a public institution needs to make to its systems in order to foster prompt payments of invoices. In discharging its mandate, the tribunal can seek technical advice as it may require. A party aggrieved by the decision of the tribunal may appeal to the High Court for redress. Number two, the Public Finance Laws Amendment Bill 2020. The Public Finance Laws Amendment Bill 2020, the bill, seeks to make amendments to various finance-related laws which do not merit the publication of separate bills. The bill contains amendments to the following statutes. A. The Public Finance Management Act 2012, number 18 of 2012. The bill seeks to amend the Public Finance Management Act 2012, which provides for effective management of public finances by national and county governments. The amendments seek to invalidate an agreement for the borrowing of money unless the borrowing is authorised under the Act or by any other written law. It further amends the Act regarding the functions of the Budget Committee of the National Assembly. This will require the committee to coordinate the discussion and review of the budget policy statement and budget estimates by the department committees of the National Assembly. Recommendations to the Assembly are made in consideration of the recommendations of those departmental committees. The amendments further provide for the responsibilities of departmental committees of the National Assembly to include considering budget estimates. It requires the committees to consider the budgets of their respective national government entities. Should the committee revise the estimates, it should notify the relevant entity accordingly, giving advice that the budget should be aligned according to the revision. This amendment bill amends the Act to obligate the Cabinet Secretary for Finance to ensure that the annual appropriation bill prepared pursuant to Article 2216 of the Constitution provides for the appropriation of funds in the Equalisation Fund. It amends the Act to provide for accounting officers of various bodies, specifically designated office holders, shall become accounting officers for their respective institutions. The bill amends the Act to provide for offences relating to handling of public monies by public officers or accounting officers and liability arising out of loss of public money. It further seeks to amend the Act to provide that conditional grants made by the national government to county governments for purposes of Level 5 hospitals should not be paid into the county revenue fund, but shall be kept in a special account meant for that purpose. B. The Public Procurement and Asset Disposal Act 2015, number 33 of 2015. The bill seeks to amend the Public Procurement and Asset Disposal Act 2015, which provides for procedures for efficient public procurement and asset disposal by public entities. The amendments seek to lay out, in considerable detail, the duties of a procuring entity, which includes, among others, undertaking due diligence and prospective bidders. The bill further seeks to amend the Act to obligate accounting officers to ensure that procurement of goods, works and services of the public entity are done in accordance with and with strict adherence to the approved procurement plans. Similarly, money should be available for prompt payment of goods and services being procured. For an accounting officer to procure goods or services without a procurement plan or in disregard of that plan amounts to an offence. It amends the Act to promote the principle of open contracting during procurement. C. The Public Audit Act 2015, number 34 of 2015. The bill seeks to amend the Public Audit Act 2015, which provides for the functions and powers of the Office of the Auditor General. The amendments seek to empower the Auditor General to recruit its own staff as required. The bill seeks to delete from the Act provisions which were invalidated by the High Court in Transparency International Kenya versus the Attorney General and two others, 2018, because by providing for secondment of the staff of the Office of the Auditor General to other state organs, it interferes with the institutional independence of the Office of the Auditor General. D. The Controller of Budget Act 2016, number 26 of 2016. The bill amends the Controller of Budget Act 2016, which provides for the functions of the Office of the Controller of Budget. The amendments seek to require the Controller of Budget to carry out due diligence on ongoing projects. This is to ascertain if money previously approved for the project has been utilized prudently before the Controller can authorize release of more funds for the project. It further amends the Act to provide for the publicising of reports by the Controller of the Budget in a simplified form and in a manner which is accessible to as many people as possible. E. The Higher Education Loans Board Act 1995, number 33 of 1995. The bill amends the Higher Education Loans Board Act 1995, which provides for the establishment of a board of management of funds to be used for granting loans to Kenyan students. The amendment seeks to give loanees a grace period of 4 years from the date of completion of their studies. After this, they can commence repayment of loans advanced to them. Further, it amends the Act to exempt loanees without a source of income upon application to the board from paying interest on the loans advanced to them till such time when the loanees shall start earning an income. 3. The Micro and Small Enterprises Amendment Bill 2020. This bill seeks to amend the Micro and Small Enterprises Act 2012, which provides for the promotion, development and regulation of micro and small enterprises. The amendment obligates the Micro and Small Enterprises Authority the responsibility of registering and certifying enterprises owned by youth, women and persons with disabilities for purposes of accessing government procurement opportunities. In addition, the bill authorises the Micro and Small Enterprises Authority to establish business incubation centres in Kenya for purposes of nurturing businesses in their early stages in order to overcome barriers related to early stages of business development. Additionally, the bill proposes to give youth-owned enterprises a 7-year tax break and empowers the Cabinet Secretary to make regulations to give effect to this requirement. Number 4. The Ethics and Integrity Laws Amendment Bill 2020. The Ethics and Integrity Laws Amendment Bill 2020 seeks to amend various statutes relating to ethics and integrity. The bill contains proposed amendments to the following statutes. A. The Leadership and Integrity Act, number 19 of 2012. The bill proposes to amend the Leadership and Integrity Act, which provides for procedures and mechanisms for effective administration of Chapter 6 of the Constitution. The bill provides for public personal wealth and financial declaration for state officers to ensure they make declaration on income, assets and liabilities before, during and after leaving office. The bill prohibits state officers and public officers by themselves or through proxies from engaging in businesses with a public entity. It further introduces an offence and penalty for those who contravene the provision. Additionally, the bill bars state officers from participating in public collections and gives them a leeway to give contributions to registered charitable organisations or non-governmental organisations. The bill provides for safeguarding information issued to the Commission under this Act and criminalising divulging the information without proper reason and procedure. Lastly, the bill provides that a petition of an alleged violation of Chapter 6 of the Constitution shall be submitted to the appointing authority. B. The Public Officer Ethics Act, No. 4 of 2003. The bill proposes to amend the Public Officer Ethics Act, which provides for a code of ethics for public officers. The amendments align the definition of the word public officer with the Constitution. The bill bars public officers from participating in public collections and gives them a leeway to give contribution to registered charitable organisations or non-governmental organisations. Number 5, the Elections Amendment Bill 2020. The Elections Laws Amendment Bill 2020 seeks to make amendments to various election-related laws. This is done so as to deliver an electoral system that is transparent, accountable, democratic, and promotes the will of the people. The bill contains amendments to the following statutes. A. The Elections Act 2011, No. 24 of 2011. The bill amends the Elections Act, which provides for the conduct of elections, conduct of referenda, and election dispute resolution. The amendment proposes to set out the criteria for eligibility for registration as a voter to bring further clarity to Article 83 of the Constitution. Additionally, the bill proposes to limit registration of voters to at least 120 days prior to an election. This will afford adequate time to the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission to verify the audit and the information contained in the register of voters. To enhance privacy of data disclosed by citizens during voter registration and the voting process, the bill obligates the Commission to omit the full details of the voter's national identification and passport registration details during the publication of the voter register. To facilitate effective planning and budgeting of the elections, the bill obligates the Commission to publish an election timetable in the Gazette at least 18 months to an election. The election timetable should specify the activities to be undertaken during the electoral cycle, the duration of each activity, and the final day of each activity. The bill proposes to extend the duration of conducting nominations by political parties from the current 90 days to at least 120 days to an election. This is aimed at allocating additional time to political parties to resolve disputes arising out of the nomination exercise. In recognition of the pivotal role played by candidate agents in promoting free and fair elections, the bill spells out the rights and responsibilities of agents during an election. Additionally, the bill provides for the procedure and appointment of presiding officers, returning officers, and other election officers through an open, transparent, and competitive process. The bill also provides for the procedure for accreditation of election monitors and observers, including the grounds and procedure for revocation of election monitors and observers. On recall of members of parliament, the bill seeks to clarify on the procedure for recall of nominated members. B. The Political Parties Act 2011, No. 11 of 2011. The bill proposes amendments to the Political Parties Act 2011, which provides for the registration, regulation, and funding of political parties. The amendments seek to redistribute the political parties fund to promote the constitutional rights under Article 27 on equality and freedom of discrimination, or rather freedom from discrimination. The bill further obligates every political party to establish an internal dispute resolution committee with a defined membership. This committee will resolve disputes within a political party, including disputes arising out of the nomination process. C. The Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission Act 2011, No. 9 of 2011. The bill proposes to amend the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission Act 2011, which provides for the composition of Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission. The amendment redefines the word chairperson, removes reference to vice chairperson, and limits the holder of the office of the chairperson to be a person appointed in line with Article 252. This is in light of the decision of the court in Katiba Institute and three others versus the Attorney General and two others, 2018, which the court found that only a person who possessed the qualifications of a chairperson prescribed under the Act should qualify to be appointed as a chairperson of the Commission. Further, the bill obligates the Commission to apply financial resources in designing, planning, and managing elections in a prudent and responsible manner. In addition, the Commission is to report to Parliament within 6 months of a general election on the cost of the election. D. The Election Campaign Financing Act 2013, number 42 of 2013. The bill proposes amendments to the Election Campaign Financing Act 2013, which provides for the regulation, management, expenditure and accountability of election campaign funds. The amendments define the term campaign financing period and obligates the Commission to consider the remuneration and benefits expected from the electoral office to which the limit relates when prescribing the spending limits to that candidate, political party or referendum committee may spend during an expenditure period. E. The Election Offences Act 2016, number 37 of 2016. The bill proposes to amend the Election Offences Act 2016, which provides for election offences. The amendments seek to prohibit any person from offering material incentives, tricking, deceiving, or using violence in order to induce or compel a voter to transfer their registration from one electoral area to another. In addition, the bill prohibits harassment and use of violence against candidates during an election period. 6. The Anti-Corruption and Economic Crimes Amendment Bill 2020. The bill seeks to amend the Anti-Corruption and Economic Crimes Act No. 3 of 2003, which provides for the prevention, investigation and punishment of corruption, economic crimes and related offences. The amendment deletes the definition of the words advisory board and assistant director as the principal provisions have been repealed. Further, the bill enhances the penalty for economic crimes and corruption offences. Additionally, it provides for the procedure of sentencing hearing in economic crimes and corruption matters. It further introduces the offence of concealment of corruption and provides for duty to report any knowledge or suspicion of instances or acts of corruption or economic crimes. Lastly, it gives the Cabinet Secretary power to make regulations on the protection of whistleblowers. Further, the bill provides for room for public officers to amend declarations as well as limit the period for making amendments to 6 months. It also provides for electronic platform for submissions, retention, storage, archiving, and accessing of declarations. Number 7, the Contribution to Charity Bill 2020. This bill seeks to regulate public collections or harambees. It provides a clear demarcation between public collection for charitable purposes and public collection for private benefits. This bill puts in place a robust legal architecture for addressing issues pertinent to public collections. The bill seeks to repeal the Public Collections Act, Chapter 106, which regulates collections of money and property from the public. The shortcomings of this Act, which assented to in 1960, includes not being aligned to the Constitution. For instance, it only refers to provisional administration and former administrative structures, but also fails to recognize the devolved structures and their involvement in public collections or public fundraising appeals as envisaged under the Constitution. Further, the Act fails to substantively regulate public collections for charitable purposes. Again, it does not provide proper safeguards to curb corruption that may arise in voluntary collections. Number 8, the Devolution Laws Amendment Bill 2020. The principal object of this bill is to amend the County Governments Act 2012 and the Intergovernmental Relations Act 2012 to align various provisions of the Acts with the court decisions and to incorporate lessons learned in the implementation of the Acts. A. The County Governments Act 2012, number 17 of 2012. The bill proposes to amend the County Government Act, which provides for the structure of county governments. The amendments seek to require the county governors to designate the deputy governors with a department within the county executive, similar to portfolios assigned to other members of the county executive committee. Again, the bill provides for the process to be followed in the transfer of county headquarters from one town to another. Lastly, it provides for a ward to be considered as the lowest level of planning for purposes of development and budgeting. B, the Intergovernmental Relations Act 2012, Act No. 12 of 2012. The bill proposes to amend the Intergovernmental Relations Act, which provides a framework for consultation and cooperation between the national and county governments on the one hand and amongst county governments on the other hand. The amendment adds to the scope of the Act issues relating to concurrent jurisdiction between both levels of government and the coming together of county governments to form associations and partnerships. Moreover, it provides for the Cabinet Secretary to make overarching regulations for the sector. It further qualifies that regulations under the Act shall be made in consultation with the Council of Governors as opposed to the summit to enhance efficiency of making regulations under the Act. Number 9. Public Participation Bill 2020. The principal object of the proposed bills is to provide a framework for the effective public participation in view of the constitutional provisions that places the people at the centre of governance. The bill seeks to ensure public processes ranging from policy-making, legislative processes and ultimate decision-making adhere to the participation of the people of Kenya. The bill therefore provides a standardized mechanism to facilitate an effective and coordinated public participation process in both levels of government. This will include the introduction of the Registrar of Public Participation Registry under the Office of the Attorney General. Further, the bill provides for the role of the county attorney in the public participation process in the county government and requires reports on any such exercise to be regularly shared and archived with the registrar. Number 10, the National Economic and Social Council Bill 2020. The bill proposes to establish the National Economic and Social Council, which shall be responsible for coordinating the preparation, implementation, and review of national development policies. The council, to be chaired by the Prime Minister, shall oversee the development of short and medium-term plans. The bill further proposes to establish a secretariat of the council to be headed by a secretary who will be competitively recruited by the Public Service Commission and appointed by the President for a non-renewable term of 6 years. The transitional provisions transit the exiting secretariat of the council from the National Treasury to the Office of the Prime Minister. Number 11, the Statute Law Miscellaneous Amendments Bill 2020. The Statute Law Miscellaneous Amendments Bill 2020 seeks to amend various laws which do not merit the publication of separate bills. The bill contains amendments to the following statutes. A. The Interpretation and General Provisions Act, Chapter 2. The bill proposes to amend the Interpretation and General Provisions Act, Chapter 2, to harmonize the definition of Cabinet Minister and the proposed constitutional amendment. B. The Judicial Service Act, No. 1 of 2011. The bill proposes to amend the Judicial Service Act 2011 to harmonize with the proposed amendments of the Constitution on the Secretary of the Commission. C. National Intelligence Service Act No. 28 of 2012. The bill proposes to amend the National Intelligence Service Act 2012 to expand the definition of vettable position to ensure the service vets all applicants to public offices for purposes of providing background checks. D. The Mutual Legal Assistance Act No. 36 of 2011. The bill proposes to amend the Mutual Legal Assistance Act 2011 in Section 2 to harmonize the list of mainstream competent authorities with the provisions of Section 7(2) of the Act. It further proposes to amend Sections 3 for clarity purposes, as well as harmonize it with Section 2(6) of the Constitution of Kenya and Section 4 to provide for clear legal basis for innovative ways of direct cooperation between competent authorities. E. The Commission on Administrative Justice Act, No. 23 of 2011. The bill proposes to amend the Commission on Administrative Justice Act to provide that after having concluded an investigation or inquiry and found a public officer guilty of gross violation of the Constitution or the law, the Commission be able to recommend that such an officer is unfit to hold public office. It further proposes to enforce the Court of Appeal ruling, number 141 of 2015, where the court held that the recommendation of the Commission has the force of the law and are binding. 12. The Health Amendment Bill 2020. The bill seeks to amend the Health Act to establish the Health Service Commission to provide for its composition, functions, qualifications, and procedure for appointment of the members. It also outlines the role of the Commission as follows: make recommendations to the national government on national policies for management of healthcare workers, monitor implementation of national policies for management of healthcare workers by county governments, and recommend appropriate action, set and regularly review norms and standards on 1. Training of healthcare workers, 2. Recruitment of healthcare workers, 3. Welfare, career development and schemes of service for healthcare workers, 4. Inter-country and inter-county transfer of healthcare workers, 5. Transfer of healthcare workers from one level of government to the other, and 6. National distribution of highly skilled healthcare workers. Further, the Commission shall subject to Article 23421 of the Constitution, facilitate resolution disputes between employers and healthcare workers in public service, both at the national and county levels, and accredit health institutions.